Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Todd Feinberg, now 2 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
There has been all kinds of talk about supply chain, new vernacular for the country in the COVID vernacular. As we come to terms with how much life has been disrupted by the government shutdowns, joining us now to help shed some light on this is Lewis Black. He is the CEO of Almonte Industries, which is a company that develops raw materials, I guess, tungsten in particular. Is that right, Lewis?
Yes, we're the largest producers of tungsten outside of China.
And how does that relate to this? Are you guys dealing with some of these supply chain issues as well?
Yes, well, tungsten is supplied to pretty much every sector of the global economy. So aerospace, defense, automotive. So we have a fairly unique insight as to how the supply chain issues are rippling through just about every sector out there.
Can you give us a few more details on that? In what way, well, why, and how does it impact?
I think, ultimately, the explanation as to why is that it's unknown in the sense that when the world was shut down, which was never meant to happen, as they restart the engine, all kinds of weird and wonderful things now have started occurring. And there's no real finger to point. You know, semiconductor shortage is front and center because it's affected car deliveries and obviously PCs and laptops. There's a polymer shortage in Germany. There were briefly several food shortages and fuel shortages in the UK. So these are going to manifest in all kinds of different ways going forward. And it's going to take some while for it all to rebalance.
That rebalancing issue is a big issue, but the place where people are seeing it most clearly is with the supply of automobiles and the inability of dealers to get cars on the lot, which means the manufacturers can't build them because they're missing these computer chips. And it's inexplicable to the outside world how it can go on for so long.
Well, to build a semiconductor takes about 9 weeks. And so these factories are highly automated. They're predominantly based in the US and Taiwan and South Korea. And basically, these factories run at a capacity which previously would allow about 3 months worth of inventory. And that is one of the main issues that has occurred here. Last year, as things shut down, companies ran down their inventories. And no one expected for a minute the demand to emerge as it did so strongly. And to replenish those inventory levels is going to take a great deal of time because you can't just merely increase the capacity of these factories. It takes 2-3 years to get these capacities up.
And that's because presumably these are left to market forces to indicate to the suppliers. I mean, obviously a supplier wants to be supplying, they want to be manufacturing, but they don't want to be manufacturing goods for which there isn't a market. And we would expect them to be the most sophisticated sources we could find, perhaps, on where the demand might be a year from now or 6 months from now. But then when you throw in a disruption of government shutdowns, that creates a lot of unknowns. And that's why we're where we are on the chips.
Yes, I mean, no one for a minute ever modeled for a complete global shutdown. A three-month inventory was meant to cover most issues that you'd run into in normal operating environments. But the capacity, the output capacity of the semiconductor manufacturers is normally mirrored inflation. So its growth would be based on an inflationary outlook. They'd increase their output by 1-3% a year, knowing that the three-month inventory that all of their supply chain held was going to be able to cover every eventuality. Ultimately, the eventuality that was never predicted was what exactly happened, which was a total shutdown. So this is not a case of, you know, if they can catch up, they will, but it'll take a significant amount of time to do so.
So what does this teach us, Lewis? We're talking to Lewis Black. He's the CEO of Almonte Industries. What does this teach us? Is this an isolated incident? That is, there's something unique, as you've described, about this high-tech manufacturing process and the length of time it takes to produce these things and the normal stability of demand. Does that extrapolate out to other potential minefields? And are there lessons here that we should use to look at the rest of our supply chain problems?
Well, I think that going back a generation when the world was essentially prepared was in the Cold War, supply chain was front and center, because in the event of a nuclear war, the United States, Russia, Europe, there had to be plans in which to be relatively self-sufficient. The world is now obviously turned into a much more global event, and the supply chain dynamics were of less importance in terms of diversity. And so you've seen in, for instance, China, they've spent 30 years very efficiently and very successfully executing an extraordinary supply chain, vertical supply chain from raw materials to finished product. And ultimately, American manufacturers were able to shop at their leisure in China for these products. But irrespective of their source, it's the fact they come only from one source. Mm-hmm. And so when you do have any type of major event, which we obviously are now just emerging from, it highlighted the fact that you really don't have an awful lot of option if you need an option. You know, your choice is not there. It's not a critique of whether China is good or bad. It's a question of American manufacturers currently don't have a choice for their supply chain. Do they increase their inventories they carry? Well, every CFO in those companies is going to be furious at that prospect, because the inventories go up in time, up and down in value. So the most logical, pragmatic approach is one that says you must continue to diversify your supply chain to offer American manufacturers choice.
That's where we will end up. Is that what you're saying? That's unavoidable?
I think that regardless of the politics involved in these decisions, the market will push to that. Because if you actually get out the pen and paper and work out what has been lost to date and what will be lost going forward because of this supply chain disruption, it's an enormous amount when compared to what it would actually do to essentially promote and encourage diversification. I'm not saying diversification.
Let me just recap this then.
Sorry, Tom.
If I'm a manufacturer who needs goods from other manufacturers, and I've been working in an environment where I try to call them at the exact day and hour that I need to, the last minute, to get things in for the next morning or for whatever the next delivery time is, and I've never kept a buffer in-house, and I've allowed myself to get into a situation where I've only got one source, then I'm looking at this all differently, and I'm going to be calling around to suppliers who I think might be, or I hear rumors they might be looking at this business, and or they're calling me. And either way, the conversation is going to be, yes, I will give you half my business or whatever. In other words, the demand is there, and this will take off for the people who are the first in offering alternative supply chain opportunities.
Absolutely. And more that are focused domestically will be more successful than those that are not. Because if you could offer a supply chain that you can actually drive to without relying on importations, exportations. That's also a huge advantage to American manufacturing.
So is there evidence of this happening already? And what kind of price this will lock in the inflationary effects for companies that are looking for this second source, and they're being told, oh, well, it'll cost you 50% more or something to that effect. Will they accept that because it's already baked into the cost now?
I think that it's already baked into the cost. And I think as well as that, that the supply chain transparency is also very, it has an increasing importance now. So ESG has become front and center for supply chains. And that's also an additional cost. So I think we have to all accept the reality that inflation is inevitable, or it's, we're right in the middle of an inflationary moment, and that will continue for at least for another year, maybe longer. But in terms of in fact, supply chains, you are going to find an increase in the raw cost of products.
And that it'll stay that way because everyone's going to use that extra money to correct the problems.
Essentially, they're going to allow them to be more have more diversification. And on top of that, it's going to be much more transparent. So all of the requirements of ethically sustainability, all of these elements will be encompassed within your ESG as well. So the consumer demands that now. They
We're
want
talking to
know
Lewis Black, CEO of Almonte Industries. I'm sorry, did I cut off the end of your thought?
Oh, that's right. I just said the consumer, ultimately, this is what they demand now. They want this transparency. They want to know. And the price for that, there is a price.
Well, I would think investors would want it too.
Absolutely. And I think the danger, of course, is you create a two-tier system. You have a tier one system, which is compliant, transparent, and then you have a tier two system, which is going to undercut tier one by being far less compliant. So it's very important that the consumer remains focused on this. And it's not just a question of cost.
No, it's wonderful what you're sharing with us. Let's take a quick break. Lewis Black is with us. We'll talk more in a moment on WTIC.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
Todd Feinberg here, WTIC. So as you know, the government shutdowns, the flow of materials around the world, supply chain, it's all been disrupted by COVID. And the question is, as COVID wanes, and some places it doesn't have much impact at all right now, but still the whole world seems to be feeling these shivers through the supply chain. And we've been hearing from Lewis Black, the CEO of Almonte Industries, about what some of those problems are connected to and how long it will take for them to correct. And we've, I think, in this country become accustomed to the idea of late that our government isn't really good at solving problems, and its motivation, you know, there's been a lot of talk in recent years, Lewis, that the business world is too, because of publicly traded companies doing quarterly earnings, that the business world is too focused on short term. But it seems that the political world is similarly on a short incentive cycle, and as a result, I wonder if we're going to do a good job finding solutions.
Well, I mean, if we look back to China again, they have a supply chain efficiency that's taken 30 years to put together. In order to provide some relief for diversification of supply chains in the United States, for instance, is going to take far longer than a traditional election cycle. And of course, that's problematic because one administration may be supportive and the next may not. And I think it's going to have to rest in the arms of industry or the market to push this diversification forward. But as you said, they have a three-month outlook. It's quarter to quarter. I suppose the saving grace is that investors will see that companies will support diversification. They just may not want to finance it. But if outside capital or investment capital comes into it, they will find, I think, a lot of support. But this is not going to be a quick fix.
And how does that impact us as consumers going to the store and finding empty shelves? and not being able to buy a new car, and the price of used cars going up dramatically. And I don't know, I assume this is also impacting the trucking industry. Are they having the same problems getting trucks? And what is that doing?
Well, there's a shortage of drivers before you even get to the trucks. And this is not unique to the United States. You're seeing this all over Europe, the UK. These issues are emerging across the board. And I think ultimately we're going to have to accept that we're going to have to live with this for a little longer. Unfortunately, when people think that things are not available, they want to go out and buy more. It's a sort of human nature. And almost in a, I remember when they were shutting down and people were racing for toilet paper. This was seemed to be the focus. Now, I don't know about you, but if you were looking at an unknown future at that time of who knew what was going to happen, I would say probably acquiring canned food was probably more useful than toilet paper. But because we were all in fear of the toilet paper crisis, we all had to buy toilet paper. So,
but what about those first people, Lewis? That doesn't explain the first ones who were there in the store with the fear in their hearts, and their choice was to grab the paper.
Somebody started the stampede. I have no idea what was going through their mind when that happened. But they looked on one shelf, there were the canned foods, and the other shelf there was toilet paper, and they went straight to the toilet paper. But I think that's also exacerbating the problem, is that people are, you know, searching for their products because they fear of the supply chain issue. We have to understand that this is going to take a little time to rebalance. 2022 is going to be a tough year. But inflation is probably more of a concern than seeing some empty shelves in your favorite store.
Those things are connected, are they not?
Well, not exclusively, because inflation has ultimately emerged due to the vast amounts of money that have been dropped into the economy by governments during this COVID lockdown. When you put that much money to work or into play, you devalue that money. And that is highly inflationary. And unfortunately, in these situations, it's always those with the least will suffer the most. And that I think we're gonna have a tough year in 2022 for this.
Well, it's also going to be a tough. I'm mostly interested in the political ramifications in the U.S. And I look at, you're talking about 2022. That's the midterm election year. The Democrats just took their first drubbing of this election cycle, and what you're suggesting is there could be many more. Because if these factors are not mitigated over the short term, that means people have to come to terms with the fact that their government can't respond and created the damage that they didn't know how to fix, and probably weren't even thinking about the damage they were creating. They were so excited about following their disease policies that nobody sat around and gamed out the whole situation.
I think ultimately, the pandemic highlighted the frailty of government. And unfortunately, I don't think any particular political system worked very well, whether it be a democracy or even a communist or dictatorial systems. They all failed because ultimately, you know, they shut down a world that was never meant to be possible, that it was just not possible. So, yes, it's going to be very tough in 2022. And unfortunately, government seems to try and fix every problem by throwing more money at it, which, of course,
and that money creates a lot of problems.
It creates a lot of problems because it ultimately doesn't end up where it should.
Yes.
And that's because it's almost impossible for government to police where it goes. Once you get past the Twitter headline, I've done something, what happens to it after that is not your concern.
Yes. And even the intentional direction the money is going in might not be good either, because they're losing the inputs from the marketplace and dealing with panic and political emergencies and
government
make bad decisions.
Yeah, the government has never been very efficient at distributing money. The only really effective distribution they've ever come up with is a tax cut, bizarrely. A tax cut seems to actually have a much more inspired response in an economy. Because when it's left to a person to decide what he does with his additional money, he's much more sensible than when a government decides what to do with the additional money.
Well, they won't want to hear any of that, so keep it quiet.
Well, I mean, it's look, it's just another approach that they have. It's not, I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong, but I think 2022 is going to be very difficult for some people. And I think we have to bear that in mind rather than be upset about the fact we have to wait a year for get a car. We just have to know that there's going to be a section of the community that's really going to find it tough with this inflation during next year.
Lewis Black, Almonte Industries, the chief executive officer. Thank you, sir, for taking the time to talk.
Thanks, Todd. Thank you very much.
We'll pause for news and then talk more right here on WTIC.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Todd Feinberg, now 2 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Tuesday, current with COVID, we talk on a regular basis with Jim Watkins. He maintains the website CandidlySpeaking.net. Jim's an old radio friend, as I've mentioned before, but he's also a really smart guy. He's kind of uncanny how smart he is. And when he dives into things and gets his teeth into somebody's calf, well, forget about it. He digs in and brings them down. So I like him talking about COVID because COVID needs that sort of attitude. There's a lot of people who obviously are in some kind of intimidated state where they've been put into fear by the government on purpose to make it easy to corral people, to get people organized to follow orders. And they, even after all this time, they don't realize that a lot of this was a con. A lot of the COVID response had to do with the best interests of the powerful, which is always what the powerful are interested in. So we turn to Jim and CandidlySpeaking.net. Jim keeps everything, I think, well, lots of stuff, all the COVID stuff, but other things too, right, Jim?
I do. I cover the gamut. Anything to do with things you're not supposed to talk about, I'm talking about, you know.
CandidlySpeaking.net. So Jim, when we first started doing these segments, I don't know, maybe 9 months ago, a year ago, you were trying to be the drier, more disseminating the facts kind of person. And you've gotten more opinionated of late, not just on COVID, but other things, which everybody likes better because everybody loves your opinion. So feel free to give opinions on whatever you want, Jim, because I always get good feedback. But what's okay. going on with COVID?
COVID is starting to wane in the United States and around the world. The fourth wave isn't happening. Johns Hopkins guy, Macri, who's always been a straight shooter throughout this whole thing, says that Americans really need to restore their faith. California is the hardest hit this week, and it's less than 50, and it sounds like a horrible number, and it is. But we always have to compare it to where we were 6 months ago. And, the fact is 226 million Americans have gotten a shot. Another 37 million Americans, they've had the coronavirus.
Natural immunity.
So, you couldn't ask for a better, will we see a wave in the winter? Who the hell knows? But, we're going to have the flu. But maybe people will wear their masks and we won't have the flu as bad. Who knows? But the important thing is that people need to stop being afraid.
I don't understand why anybody still would be. Granted, we all live in different parts of the country that have different experiences. But is there some measure? Do we have some way of understanding how much fear how many people are still afraid to leave the house or won't go to a restaurant and eat out, or what kind of measure is there that you've seen of understanding how much fear is affecting the country?
Well, I see it in my own personal life when you have people that might be getting together for the holidays. And the first question is, are you vaccinated? So there are people who are just because of what's coming out of the media that absolutely believe that unless you're vaccinated, you're not safe.
That's kind of basic. I think we're going to be hearing that for a long time kind of question. If you're getting together, you guys are all vaccinated, right? We went to a wedding a couple of weeks ago and everybody had to be vaccinated. It was just an ask, but it was set up front. You've got to be vaccinated if you're going to come. And that, if old people are going to be someplace like a wedding, that strikes me as reasonable and not a sign of fear so much as this is the new normal.
That's true. And it is probably in that regard, if you're going to be around a lot of people, at least get tested, go down and get a PCR swab just to make sure you're on the up and up. I mean, you can have show your card as you go into the party,
On the other hand, I don't think twice about going out to restaurants and behaving normally socially. And I know other people have mentioned they aren't going out to restaurants. So there's a difference of opinion there, perhaps, and maybe I'm in the minority.
Well, if you don't like people in general and you can use COVID as an excuse not to go out, I think that's convenient.
Oh, thanks a lot, Jim.
But, the mandates is what's got everybody riled up this week, and they're having a nationwide mandate strike, I guess, and it's going to culminate Thursday night on the Golden Gate Bridge. And everybody's asking, where's Gavin Newsom? Where's Gavin Newsom? Now the latest is he's either got that French disease, that syndrome, which I can't pronounce. Or he's
liberal?
Got,
leftist?
Huh?
That's socialist? Possible. Communist? Yeah,
socialitis.
What's his disease?
So anyway. But, hey, I want to be the heralder of good news. And I herald that. We've defeated COVID finally. Yay. Superman is
it's,
defeated
it's funny
COVID.
How I mean, you started this off by talking about how there's been a group change in outlook. And I noticed in the paper today, there was a New York Times story talking about how dramatically COVID has changed in India. And I saw another one in the Washington Post about how much I think it's were we having well, now I forget. Was it 4,000 deaths a day at a peak?
Yeah, it was horrible. Yeah.
And now we're down to 1,000.
It was horrible.
But 1,000 doesn't sound like nothing. But with numbers are always a little deceptive if you don't know what's underlying them. And I wonder if the 1,000 a day are, if that's picking off people who would have been dying of flu and who are very vulnerable anyway.
Yeah.
Not that, that makes it less tragic, but it makes it less, the measure less significant, because they're not healthy people being knocked down by a bacterium or a virus.
You know, what's absolutely crazy to me, Todd, is the way that they're still handling it in California. That state has really gone bonkers.
Paint the picture for somebody.
They got kids now. Well, I mean, for example, if you can't go anywhere in LA without showing you have a safe pass, and that safe pass, you can't work out at a gym, you can't go shopping, you can't go anywhere unless you can prove that you've got your papers. And this isn't a state that has less than 20, 30 people dying a day of COVID. More people are dying of suicide in California and drug overdoses than COVID. So when you've got the situation where it's okay to come out, and yet you still have these dictatorial leaders telling you, you've got to prove that you're not a danger to society. No wonder people are leaving California in droves.
But is LA still in trouble, or is that just a reluctance to lift?
I think it's just people are dictators. This is really revealed how much people like power. And I hate to say that, but
there's no doubt.
People just, it's
no power twists people's minds and makes them crazy.
And, well, look at Lamont. I mean, his executive powers now run through. I don't think he'll even be in office, and he'll still have executive powers, you know.
He'll keep those after. He'll always have executive powers. He'll be issuing decrees from the old age home. but at the same time, the more local it is, the easier it is to be politically in trouble for overstepping. You know, like the people of L.A. have to believe in this stuff for it to stay in place, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, L.A. is full of Larry Davids, you know. They're all germaphobes anyway. Right. Yes. Yes, absolutely.
We're talking to Jim Watkins. CandidlySpeaking.net is his website. So what is the latest? Do you have a data update for us on?
Well, I do want to draw people's attention to the fact that we are publishing, as they are updated, the Bears report, which is very important, because now that we're moving into this phase where they're wanting to inoculate young children, I think it's important for us to look at the data on the side effects, because there are no doubt going to be children with side effects if they do a massive rollout like they want to. And then we have to really start asking ourselves the question, if a child has less than a 1 in 1,000 chance of even getting sick from COVID, is it really necessary to mandate that that child may get something that might cause myocarditis or any number of side effects? So I think we those of us who understand the science have to really make sure that we're doing this for the right reasons, and not just because Big Pharma is pumping billions of dollars into advertising.
Well, I think there's a political imperative, too, and that is that this whole thing has been done wrong from the start. We've discussed this before, and they should have been, the politicians should have been protecting the groups that needed to be protecting instead of doing an assault on our economy, which and people's lives and the normal upbringing of children and people's educations. They have conducted a 2-year assault on normal life that probably caused more death. And that's something they don't want to have to answer for. So they want to keep people thinking they're doing the right thing and not create an opening for any other treatment or for any other understandings of the disease to step into place. Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, we need to stop shaming people like Aaron Rodgers. You know, I mean, for God's sakes, the guy's healthier than 99% of America, and he has COVID. Nobody's even asking, how's your COVID coming along? All they care about is that he lied about being vaccinated, you know, or being vaccinated. This public media shaming.
Yeah, it's gross.
People,
headline in the New York Times today, Jim.
Yeah.
Scientists find a new source of vaccine misinformation, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, because he's the guy I go to for my information.
Yeah, really. But you know what? He spoke so wonderfully, I think, in that interview he did last week. I thought he was impressive. We're talking to Jim Watkins from CandidlySpeaking.net. We'll take a quick break and do a few more minutes with Jim. So stay with us on WTIC.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
Jim Watkins is with us, WTIC. He is the proprietor of a website called CandidlySpeaking.net, where he has kept us up to date on the COVID, the movement of COVID for a long time now, and provides a resource, kind of a aggregator of good stories on COVID and other things. So, Jim, thanks for being here once again.
It's good to be here, Todd. Thank you so much.
So, you know, as I was just alluding to, we've been crushed by the COVID response. And part of that continues to ripple. Like the what's going on with the supply chain. I was at Walmart this morning and, you know, still can't get my favorite brand of paper towel. And it's just strange. Like, is this really America? This is the center of commercialism and capitalism for the world. And we deal with empty shelves. What is going on?
Well, I'll tell you what's going on. It's bad leadership. I posted an article this morning, 4 reasons why we're having a supply chain problem. And I wrote it specifically for Joe Biden, because apparently he doesn't seem to know what those 4 reasons are. He happens to be one of them. There's 4 things that went into this. COVID obviously had an impact. There was a slowdown across the world. But once that slowdown ended and the producers from Asia started packing those cargo ships with supplies that Americans need, what we did is we failed on our end to accommodate for that. We weren't letting people work on the docks. Gavin Newsom had put in some new laws that restricted trucking. All these little things that were decided, Garcetti.
Oh, the restrictions on diesels, yeah. I mean, that you can't just brush over that. That's like one of the big insidious things, because that's for the unexplainable and unfathomable climate change argument.
Yes.
That, you know, oh, we can't have diesels coming into California anymore. Okay, there's a price to these things. And mostly the left has been hiding that cost. You know, little taxes, a 1% tax on this bill and a 2% on that bill. And they slip them in there. And they say, oh, this is going to go to a cleaner climate, and it never does. But is it a cleaner climate that's happening in California for that restriction? Or is it just crazy disruption of normal life? And should the people know what's going on and have a chance to answer it?
Well, I would propose to your listeners that if you want to see how these people are going to handle climate change, look at how they're handling COVID. And that will tell you that, you know, we're in for a rough ride, because these guys don't think like in terms of chess. They think in terms of checkers. And if the next time I think Peter Buttigieg is breastfeeding, I would want him to take a few minutes and really think about how the supply chain works, because he clearly didn't learn anything being the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. It's a process that has a start, a middle, and an end. And you have to understand those 3 components. Otherwise, you're going to disrupt people's lives, which is what they're doing. And they're doing it under the guise of safety and protocol and the environment. But when it comes right down to it, they're ruining people's lives. They're causing a major disruption in the economic and energy flow of this country.
Well, I think there will be a big political price. And I suspect that last week's elections and the dramatic swing away from Democrats that took place from a year ago, I think is driven in large part to this supply chain problem. It's hard to sort out the issues because COVID pulls so many different things together, and the COVID response, you've got education and kids and schools, but you've also got senior citizens and nursing home safety and everything in between, including the supply chain. And this is not going to stand if we're doing this a year from now.
And it's also going to the same thing they're doing to the supply of goods is what they're going to soon be doing with the supply chain of actual energy. When we have a deep freeze this winter and there's not enough coal to supply the energy grid, we're all going to be feeling the chill. And it's going to be, again, because of leadership that's misguided and misdirected.
And doing things that are trading on the name of climate change, but aren't an actual response to it, because this whole idea of raising the cost of energy is that's not something that's been vetted, and that's not something that's been debated, but they pursue policies deliberately that will raise the cost of energy. They deliberately are narrowing the supply of the energies we know that we need. We've seen this in California, how they've weakened themselves by cutting back on the energy as a way to force the society to adjust. If that continues to set in a way that people understand it, that will cause explosive political reaction.
Well, it will among the older people who weren't brainwashed by 20 years of climate education. But the younger people are going to back the government, the media.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, there'll certainly be more of the young people, but this has all been without cost. These conversations have all been hypothetical, intellectual, abstracts. If you make it real, you know, if you're not hiding those taxes, but somebody's giving you a number of how much you're paying, and somebody's giving you a number of how many homes are without electricity today because of these moves that were made, when lives are being disrupted, that's when the rubber meets the road in politics, I think, Jim.
Oh, you got it. You nailed it. And listen, the more that Biden can do to mess up his chances for his party to get reelected, I'm happy. But I got to draw the line when it starts really affecting my life and it hits me in my pocket, because that's really where people are going to, they'll always vote by their, you know, with their pocket or their wallet, or at least it used to be that way.
Yes. No, I think that's right. All right, Jim Watkins, we got 30 seconds. Wrap it up for us.
All right. Well, look, there's some good stuff on the website, obviously, for people who want to look into VAERS. Check it out. New articles being posted every day. The climate change is going to take over. My prediction is going to take over the COVID fear. Now it's shifting to climate change. So that's what you're going to see over the next 6 months.
All right. I'll see if they can get us as scared about the climate as they have gotten us as scared about government.
They're going to try.
Jim Watkins, candidlyspeaking.net. Nice to talk with you once again. Thanks for taking the time.
You too, and happy Thanksgiving to you, Todd.
We'll get us a news update and then more conversation coming your way on WTIC.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.